Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Solto Il Monte, Italy, and earned a doctorate in music from the University of Milano. From 1989 to 1992, he was a Swiss guard, and as such protected St. John Paul II the Great all over the world. He then worked in corporate finance for 17 years. In 2009, he and his wife Julie started the New England Classical Academy. Today, he's also a professor of business and economics at the Catholic University of America. His name? Dr. Mario Ensler. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a most extraordinary man, Dr. Mario Ensler. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you very much, Jack. It's always a pleasure and an honor for me to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Yes. So my dad is Swiss and my mom is Italian, and I was born and raised in Italy because that's where my dad ended up staying for his job, okay? And my mom didn't really want to live in Switzerland because she couldn't really understand why in Switzerland they melt the cheese rather to eat the solid cheese. And so my mom is from Sotto il Monte, which is the small village just outside of Bergamo in the northern part of Italy, where St. John Paul the 23rd was born, with St. John the 23rd was born and raised. And so my childhood as a single child, my mom had three other children, but unfortunately they died when they were really young, in the early 70s. And so I was raised as a single child and attended, you know, the parochial school in the town, and then went off to the university. And my goal in life was to be as living home dude, as I usually say, until I was 38, 39 years old, because that's what you do when you are in Italy. You know, who wants to leave home when your mom does all the laundry, cooks all the meal, never asks you to pick up anything, and your dad allows you to live at his house for free? You don't have to contribute for utilities. You can drive his own car, and, you know, and he doesn't even charge you for the gas, all right? So my question here is, why should I leave when I don't have to? And so one day my dad comes to me and he says to me, Mario, I think you better make up your mind what you want to do when you grow up. Otherwise, I'll be the one that is going to tell you what to do. And so I decided to challenge my father, and my father ended up proposing me to join either the Italian army or the Swiss army. The reason why two armies is because at that point I had dual citizenship, and so Italian and Swiss. And so I decided to join the Swiss army simply because that was 17 weeks boot camp versus a 54 weeks boot camp. And so when I left Milano and I went to Switzerland and I joined the army, and while I was there, I was approached by a chaplain that introduced me to the concept of the Swiss Guards, and I knew very well who the Swiss Guard were, okay? But, he approached me and he says, I think, Mario, you should seriously consider joining the Swiss Guard. And I said, well, I don't really see myself, you know, standing still and under the sun. That's not me. I'm a sanguine guy. You know, I studied all my life, and now I'm ready to do something. And he says, well, I think you should pray about it. And so I did, and then I decided to, when I finished my boot camp in Switzerland and went back home, I decided to apply, and I was accepted. And December 1st, 1989, I joined the Swiss Guard, and I became a Defensores Libertatis Ecclesia. So I became a protector of the freedom of the church, because basically that's what the Swiss Guards are. You know, they are a military corps that continue this noble of service of protectors of the freedom of the church. And throughout these 3 years, I had amazing opportunity to spend time with St. John Paul II, to a point that one day I realized that whatever that man had, I wanted it. And so I started paying attention to everything he said. I was looking the way he moved, you know, how he acted, where he was looking, the direction I was engaging with elderly or young. I really wanted to emulate him because I loved him and I was impressed by his manhood. And so I served for 3 years, and after that I realized that even though I wanted to be a musician and be somehow involved in music, well, there was not a lot to be offered at that time. And so, having a Swiss passport, I left the Vatican, and instead of going back to Sotto il Monte, I decided to try in Switzerland. And, well, in Switzerland, either you go into the chocolate industries or into the banking industry. And since I liked to eat chocolate and not make it, I joined the banking industry, and through that I pursued a very successful career. You know, I was formed in the system through the bank, and I practiced that for 18 years, almost 19 years, before then leaving the Switzerland and coming into United States and establishing first and foremost a private school in New Hampshire rooted in the Catholic tradition, where we teach classical education, you know, Latin and Greek and humanities. And then last year in 2016, accepting an offer to join the faculty at the School of Business and Economics at the Catholic University of America. So here is a little bit quickly, you know. Oh, by the way, yes, at the same time you mentioned, I am married with Julie, an American woman that I met when I was in the Swiss Guard. She was studying at the Angelicum. She was studying dogmatic theology. We got married. We've been married almost 25 years. And we have 5 children that range from age 22 down to 12.
We're talking to Dr. Mario Enzler. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the first time he ever saw St. John Paul II the Great. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Dr. Mario Enzler, who's given hundreds of speeches and lectures entitled, I Served a Saint. Mario, the first time you saw Pope John Paul II was on December 1st, 1989. Tell us about that meeting.
Yes, I had just arrived, and the colonel said to the recruits, you know, we were a group of 9, okay? And the colonel said, well, today the Only Father is doing something historical. He's meeting Mikhail Gorbachev. And he said, I think, you know, go put your luggage into the upstairs and then put your suit on, and then I'll take you so that you'll have a chance to see him, actually to see the two of them. And so I did. That was the first time I arrived. I was still trying to understand where I was, okay, why I was there. And now I had to put my suit on, my black suit on that I was ordered to bring with me, and a white shirt and a black tie. And we climb a set of stairs, and we arrive into the Apostolic Palace, and we stayed on the corners, and all of a sudden, St. John Paul II and Mikhail Gorbachev appeared. It was at the end of their meeting. And let me tell you, the face of St. John Paul II was radiant of joy. And his eyes, the color of his eyes is what really caught my attention, a blue that I never really saw anywhere, but it was a spark. There was a special light. And I really felt like the bow marrow go up my spine. You know, I was in the presence of an amazing man, two actually amazing men, and I felt like, wow, I'm really not worthy to be here. But because I am here, if I am actually worthy, well, let me try to understand what I can do to deserve this honor. So that was the first time I ever saw him.
That was truly a historic meeting with Mikhail Gorbachev and the Pope. And the Pope had another historic meeting later that month on December 23rd because he met you, Mario Enzler. Tell us about that meeting.
Yes, well, that, you know, a couple of days before Christmas, I had just started my duties, and I was outside, guarding outside of his apartment, and all of a sudden I was notified that a cardinal was about to come, and so I had to, you know, open the door and make sure that nobody was around, you know, security responsibilities. And then when the cardinal arrived, you know, as a matter of fact, he was an African cardinal whose name was Cardinal Bernardin Ganten. He was the prefect of the bishop congregations, okay? A holy man, a holy and humbled man, okay? And when he arrived, we started talking while we were waiting for the Holy Father to come and open the door, literally, okay? And then when the Holy Father opened the door, well, you know, I went right away into attention, as the protocol says, and His Eminence Cardinal Gantin basically grabbed the Holy Father's hand, and then he turned, and he turned to the Holy Father, Holy Father, this is Mario, questo è Mario. And the Holy Father looked at me, and, you know, I didn't really know what to do, but I got off my attention and I grabbed his right hand, shaking it as hard, as manly as I could. And he looked at me and he said, "Thank you for giving up your life for the church." And then he left and the two of them walked into the apartment. So the first time I encountered him and shook his hand, he really confused me. Because up until that point, even though I was in the service just within a few days after the mandatory weeks of training, I hadn't thought about that aspect, such as giving up my life for the church.
Mario, starting with the Pope's first address as Pope, the statement he kept repeating to the world over and over was, "Be not afraid." As you heard that over and over from him, what did you walk away with from "Be Not Afraid"?
Well, what I walked away for is to be more. Because St. John Paul II repeatedly said to not be afraid, but at the same time, he always said to be more. He never said to do more or to get more, you know, but he said to be more, okay? And to me, that basically remained alive in my heart, okay, even after his my departure of the guard and even after his death, because to me, to not be afraid was a mandatory dogma, to not be afraid to pursue the truth, to not be afraid to live in hope, to not be afraid to suffer, and to be more as a father, and to be more as a husband, and to be more as a businessman, and to be more as a teacher. That's what it meant to me.
He was famous for stories. Can you give us a funny story about St. John Paul II the Great?
Well, he frequently demonstrated to us guards, you know, his gratitude for our patron service, okay? And, for instance, a very funny story. Well, the Holy Father had a lay assistant, okay, like a butler, okay, whose name was Angelo Gugel. And Angelo had two daughters. And somehow Angelo, you know, became a friend of mine and always teased me that I had to, you know, go out and, you know, and even married one of his two daughters. But, you know, that was not on my plan and was not on my heart, but was enough, you know, to joke around. Well, one day, at the end of an audience on a Wednesday in the Aula Paolo VI, you know, where St. John Paul II would do the inside audiences during winter, I was at the door where the Holy Father had to leave the hall to go into the car, okay, and there they come, and so I go into my attention, and all of a sudden I see from the corner of my eyes that Angelo is in front of the Holy Father, okay, and then the next thing, Angelo elbows me, you know, really strong with his left arm, right under my sternum, you know, on the top of my stomach, that caused me to bend forward, and I almost lost my helmet that I had on, exactly when the Holy Father was in line with me, okay? And so I went back up, and I kept a cough inside, and I probably turned purple, and the Holy Father looked at me, immediately recognized me, and said, "Mario, there is no need to bow."
A dramatic story, if you will.
The Only Father had a profound love for the Eucharist. And one day we were in Castel Gandolfo, which is the summer residence, okay? And I had to walk upstairs and go down a hallway where I knew that that was the chapel. And we know I had seen the Only Father into the private chapel. I had gone to Mass in the morning with him, being a small group of Swiss guards on the summer residence, no protocol, not audiency. The duty is quite light, okay? And so that day when I went down that hallway, you know, I didn't expect to see this, but the Only Father was in that chapel, and he was sitting in the chair, and he was holding a crucifix, a pretty good-sized crucifix, almost like a mother holds his baby in her arm, okay? And to me, you know, that really shocked me. That really impressed me because there were no camera there. Absolutely nobody was there. But to me, that basically gave me a clear understanding of the intensity and his deep love that he had toward Jesus. And I tried to emulate that. Did I ever embrace a crucifix alone? No, but holding a rosary in my hand, in my pockets daily, sometime when I put my hand in my pocket, yes, I grabbed that crucifix at the end of the rosary, a little bit like I saw St. John Paul II embracing that big crucifix.
We're talking to Dr. Mario Wendler, a former Swiss guard. When we come back, we're going to ask him about that the day he was in the room with two saints. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. I'm with Dr. Mario Wendler, who's now a professor of business and economics at the Catholic University of America. Pope John Paul, 104 trips abroad to 129 countries in five continents, arguably the most seen man in history. He was an army of one. And one day he met with Mother Teresa, and you were there. Please.
Yes, I was blessed to witness not only once, but actually I think three or four times meetings in between the two. But that time, let me tell you, so I was at the end of my shift, and I was, you know, looking forward to take off the uniform and have some free time, when all of a sudden they told me that Mother Teresa was coming, and I never met Mother before, but right away my answer was, oh, no, come on, Mother Teresa's coming. I know that when she comes, when the two of them meet, they go on forever. Now here he goes, my couple of hours of freedom. So I was a little bit upset, okay? And then Mother arrived, and she wasn't alone. There were actually three sisters, actually four, okay? And then the four of them went in, and about, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes later, they came out, but only three of them. Mother Teresa did not come out. Mother Teresa remained inside. And one of the three sisters gave me, she had like a plastic bag, you know, and she asked me, can you please give this to Mother when she comes out? And I said, sure, absolutely, why not? And I waited in that room for almost an hour and a half until finally Mother Teresa came out, and she was alone. There was, you know, I saw the Pope greeting her from the room, but she came out. And so I called her and I said, sister, and she stopped and she looked at me and I said, there is a bag for you. And she came and she grabbed the, I gave her the bag. And while I was there and I was alone with her, you know, I'm a Swiss guard. We are in the room. It's just the two of us. I'm a little bit upset that you basically destroyed my free time today. And so I decided to ask her a question. And I said, sister, do you mind if I ask you a question? And she said, no, go ahead. And I said to her, what did you talk about? Can you imagine Jack asking Mother Teresa, what did you talk about? Well, at that time, I was definitely a fearless young man, and I did. And so very kindly and gently, she smiled at me, and she said, Gospel of Matthew, 19 verse of the 28th chapter. And then she turned and left. And I said to myself, what the heck? Why don't they speak normal, these people? What are all of those codes? What the heck does that mean? Gospel of Matthew 19, verse of the 28th chapter. Well, thank God that I had to leave the place to go back to my room. And so I basically didn't write that down, but I remember. And so I went and I grabbed the gospel of Matthew that I had in my room. And I found the 19th verse of the 28th chapter. And I read, go make disciples. So that's the day that I finally realized what it really means for us to fulfill our baptismal commitments. Because God works this transformation through what? Through the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, it is the animating force and the change engine of our human existence. And it took Mother Teresa to clue me in this.
A few minutes ago, you mentioned the rosary. Tell us about your experience with the Holy Father and a rosary.
So what? Yes, there was the first time the Holy Father gave me a rosary. This is how it happened. I was tired and I was annoyed. It was really humid inside the Apostolic Palace, and you cannot open the window because otherwise the heat, the humidity, that it's called the haze, the hafa in Italian, comes in. So I was uncomfortable. And then, they call me and they say, the Holy Father is going from point A to point B. He's going to come in front of you, make sure that you can close up everything, secure everything. And so I got excited because I thought, well, the Holy Father is coming by, and hopefully he's going to, stop and say hi to me, or he's going to acknowledge my presence, whatever. I just, I just want him to notice that I'm here, okay, and I'm not just something or somebody standing in a room simply because I have to. And then, the Holy Father, I hear the remarkable footstep sounds, okay, on the Holy Father, and I go, everything is closed, everything is secure, I go into my attention position, and he passes in front of me, and he was with his personal secretary, at that time Monsignor, today Cardinal, Stanislaw Dziwisz, and he didn't stop. He didn't acknowledge my presence. He didn't even look at me. And I felt so sad, Jack. I felt so sad. I felt so empty. And I closed my eyes, for a second, and I started pulling my right arm from my attention down. When I reopened my eyes, the Holy Father was right in front of me. And I haven't heard the footsteps, so I had absolutely no idea how he got there, because I saw him passing me. And he was there in front of me, alone, and he had a rosary in his right hand. And he gave me the rosary, and when he gave it to me, he said, Mario, the rosary is my favorite prayer. Marvelous in its simplicity and profundity. Take these beads. Make great use of them, because the rosary is your most powerful weapon. And he walked away. And since that day, I've been keeping these beads in my pocket. At work, if I go for a walk, now in classroom, everywhere, I keep it, because it is my most powerful weapon. And when I carry them, I feel safe.
We're talking to Dr. Mario Ensler, who from 1989 to 1992 was a Swiss guard, and as such protected St. Pope John Paul II the Great all over the world. Mario, the Pope was a magnet. He was magic with the youth of the world. Why?
Well, he had a charisma. He had he was an actor. You know, I had to to come to the realization that he was an actor when he was a young man, okay? And because of his human greatness, okay, and because with his apostolic vigor, okay, witnesses his faithfulness and his love for the Lord, and because he wasn't afraid to show us that it's through suffering that we can glorify the Lord, well, the youth were deeply in love with him because they saw that he was honest. They saw that he was genuine. They saw that he was one of them. And, you know, even today when I watch videos, you know, YouTube videos of meetings of the Only Fathers, you know, with the youth, I'm always happy. A deep sense of joy comes in my heart because the youth really felt attracted to him. You know, he will go into an arena, he will go anywhere, and the youth will go crazy. You know, I remember a day there was an audience for the Azione Cattolica, Italian movement, you know, of Catholic action, of youth. There were 12,000 children, I would say age 14 to 20. When he entered the room, wow, they started screaming and crying, and I thought, he's amazing, he's a pop star, he's a rock star, he's God on earth. So that's what always gave me the EGBGs, as we would say, as my little daughters used to say, okay? Because the youth would go bizarre. The youth will cry when he came into the room and will scream of joy because they knew that he was Christ.
We're talking to Mario Ensler, who's given hundreds of thousands of people the EBGBs with his great stories. And I'm Jack Wasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Wasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. Mario Ensler.
Hello there, everybody. Again, yes.
Mario, what's the single biggest thing you learned from St. Pope John Paul II the Great?
I learned to go in pursuit of the truth even when it hurts. And the way I learned it was that one day I noticed that the Only Father was reading a small book. And because, as I said you before, you know, I told you before, I really wanted to do like he was. Whatever he was doing, I wanted to do it. You know, I wanted to emulate him so badly. I wanted to know what was that little book that he was actually reading, okay? And because, you know, at first when I saw it, I saw that it was a book of Tolstoy. But I always, you know, I grew up thinking that Tolstoy wrote big books and not small books, okay? And then I started laughing because I thought, wait a second, maybe the Only Father reads Spark Notes. No, that's not possible, okay? So I really, so I started moving, you know, my head without trying to not be noticed until I saw the title of the book of Tolstoy. And the title of the book was The Death of Ivan Illich, which is basically one of the last masterpieces of Tolstoy. It's a small novel, you know, I think like 80 pages. And so I, you know, we didn't have Amazon at that time, so I went and I got that book and I started reading that book. And, you know, about a month later, you know, I was still, you know, holding that book, taking it to me into services. Well, the Only Father, you know, happened to pass where I was, and he noticed the book. And so he stopped, and, you know, he said, he started talking to me, you know, how are you, how's it going, you know, the normal, simple conversation. And then he noticed the book, and he picked up that little book, and he told me, you know, Mario, this book is about the weak spots of the human heart. But most of all, it's about the consequences of living without meaning, without truth. Be always for the whole truth, even when it hurts. And so, to answer your question, Jack, this is what I've been doing. I've been always living for the truth, never for the partial truth. And sometimes it hurts, but that's what he told me to do, and that's what I believe is the right thing to do, to be always for the whole truth.
We're talking to Dr. Mario Anzler, who served a saint and met another saint in Mother Teresa. Mario, the word on the street is that you also married a saint in Julie, and the two of you in 2009 decided to start a New England Classical Academy. Tell us about that venture.
Yes, well, my wife has a brother who's a Catholic priest in Denver, and my father-in-law passed away all of a sudden from pancreatic cancer, and my mother-in-law did not want to leave the United States to come and live with us in Switzerland. And so, you know, my wife moved to New Hampshire with the children, and I tried to commute, you know, keep my job in Switzerland in the banking industry, but soon I realized that that was not possible. And in New Hampshire, we had to face the reality of educating our children, okay? And the school system, the public school system in New Hampshire, didn't really look good to us. And Catholic education system in New Hampshire at that time also didn't look good as well. You know, the Catholic education system in New Hampshire had gone like from 12,000 students down to 1,800 students. Okay. And so we felt like we had something to do. We had to do something and either keep homeschooling or perhaps structuring something like a co-op or something. Okay. And so my wife did a little research and realized that in New Hampshire there was a moratoria on the charter school. New Hampshire was one of the two states within the United States where you could not open a charter school. And so my wife says, you know what, I'm going to anyway form a non-profit organization. And then, Mario, you are a classical educated guy. Why don't you help me? We can write a curricula and then we can see if somebody around here can help us. And maybe we can open it up instead of just keeping it for our children. Maybe we can open it up. And so we did. And when we opened it up, we realized that there was a true necessity, a true desire for many people in New Hampshire to pursue education as a formation rather than an information, to pursue education as a pursuit of wisdom through truth, beauty, and goodness, rather than apprenticeship of a job, okay, or defining a vocational call to become a welder or a carpenter or whatever, okay? And so what we did, we found an empty building that used to be a parochial school, and we opened it up, and we started with 5 students, and today, 9 years later, 8 years later, we have 130 students. It's a K-12, and our seniors, you know, this year, this past year, on June 8, we had a class of 7. One of them was my daughter, Elizabeth, and all of them are out for colleges, and, you know, we have students in, you know, a Catholic university or Franciscan university, Cornell, we have one at Dartmouth College. You know, it's amazing. And not being a Catholic school, but rooted in the Catholic tradition, allowed anybody to come, Muslim, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian, different denomination, atheist, and everybody sat there reading the AAA, Aristotle, Augustine, and Aquinas. And they are out there right now, and it's a deep joy because classical education, it's all the character formation, the forming of the whole person. And that started for a personal need and now opened up and is serving almost 70 or 75 families for the past 9 years.
If you want to learn more, www.newenglandclassicalacademy.com.
Correct.
Recently, you and the Catholic University of America announced a new master's program to help priests of any denomination run parishes. Please.
Yes, I joined the faculty. You know, I no longer am the headmaster at New England Classical Academy. I am now the president of the board, and we hired a new headmaster. And I started a position at the Catholic University of America in the School of Business and Economics. And while I was there, it came in my heart that the clergy into the United States needs help understanding the administrative and managerial component of leadership, okay? And it came to my heart the fact that during the seminary formation, priests do not receive enough formation, you know, on those fields. And so at Catholic University, we decided to start a new Master of Science in Ecclesial Administration and Manager online, Jack. It's all online so that pastors can learn on the job. They do not have to leave their parishes. Bishops do not have to be afraid that they're going to lose their pastors, but pastors can, just with a click of a mouse, they can apply, and then they can take classes online, which means they might be blessed that they can find solution to their problems while they are taking an online class. There is a deep need into the United States to help the clergy. And this master program, right now, it's limited to the U.S. clergy, but we already received inquiries from South America or from other English country like Ireland or Australia, and we will see. You know, as a business person, I always take baby steps when we have a startup. We are going to start on August 7 with the first class, and then we'll see how the Lord will help us unfold in this project.
If you want to learn more, www.cua.edu. As our time winds down this evening, Dr. Ensler, could you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Yes, absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, forgive us when we get so caught up in goals that we lose our focus. In the hustle and bustle of trying to do good things, we many times forget the important things, like going to you in prayer. Help us to remember the example of St. John Paul II and take things one day at a time. Always keep our hearts and minds centered on you and not worry about the end result, but rather have faith that you will provide. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Dr. Ensler, you are a world-class storytelling angel, telling the world about a modern-day saint. Keep up the great work. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Quasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahn.